Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
A Dear Media original podcast.
Yo, what's up? And welcome to Wine Face, where we're breaking down everything the experts know about wine in a fun, digestible, and accessible way, because wine is for enjoying and wine is for everyone. I'm your host, Helen Johannesson from Helen's Wines in beautiful Los Angeles, California. And listen, spring has sprung, summer's on the horizon. It is all happening. And today, we are going to be trend forecasting. No, I'm into a wine and a lot of people don't know what it is because it gets misidentified all the time. And I'm into this wine. I'm so into it. I think it's going to be a wine of the summer. You heard it here first on Wine Face. Or if not this summer, the trend could bleed into the fall. No, I'm just kidding. But no, this is not low-rise jeans, which I really hated that trend. It's Ramato. That's right. WTF. Is Ramato. We're going to talk about it today. Ramato is a style of wine made from one grape, Pinot Grigio. It can only be Pinot Grigio, aka Pinot Gris. It can also be called Pinot Gris, but in Italy, it's Grigio. In France, it's Gris. Ramato is not made from any other grapes. It's always going to be Pinot Grigio. And it's a really interesting wine because it's kind of on the fringe of many different categories. It's kind of a rosé, kind of an orange wine, sometimes reads like a light red. It sort of is a Venn diagram grape, but has no real category. A Ramato is just a Ramato, but not all Pinot Grigios are Ramatos, but all Ramatos are Pinot Grigio. Okay, so if you have that barometer. Now, we're not talking about Ramona Pinot Grigio, okay? This is very, very, very different. There's Pinot Grigio that is made into white wine, and that's really great. Pinot Grigio has had a pretty cool history. It had, you know, a lot of people thought Pinot Grigio because it's so famous for being from Italy. You know, it's that zesty, fresh white wine kind of, you feel like you're having lemonade and it's warm out, but it's wine. And, you know, you're like, Pinot Grigio me, I should be on a yacht. Anyway, punchy acidity, lemons, limes, green apples, that vibe. So originally not from Italy, but that is where Pinot Grigio has become the most famous for that zesty, punchy white wine. But it's actually like most of the world's most famous grapes. Pinot Grigio was originally from France, where it is known as Pinot Gris. Now, these are the same grapes. It's just two names, two different countries, two different languages. It's thought, now this is important when we get to Ramato, it is thought that Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris, is a mutation of the red wine grape Pinot Noir. And the reason people think that, I guess they could do some testing on it, but the whole key to Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio, is the skins are not green like white wine grapes skins are. So give me a Sauv Blanc, give me a Chardonnay. Those skins are green, they're yellow, they're white wine grapes. But instead, we call Pinot Gris / Pinot Grigio a gray grape. It kind of has a grayish blue hue. Sometimes Pinot Grigio can have, or Pinot Gris can have, little red hairs on it. So it's a grape that's not quite white and not quite red. It's really in between. So the wine Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris, was first born, and we're not talking about Romano yet, so hold on to your horses, okay? The wine Pinot Grigio, Pinot Gris was born in Burgundy, as all of, you know, life's greatest wines have been. No, born in Burgundy and then mutated, found its way over. It didn't mutate, sorry. It migrated. If it mutated, that would mean the grape changed. But it migrated over to Switzerland, what I used to call with my friend back in the day, Suissonnut, which is not how you say Switzerland in at most languages, but Switzerland in the 1300s. And it was considered the favorite grape of the emperor at the time. But of course, the grape couldn't stop there and made its way over to Switzerland's neighbor, Northern Italy. And this is where the real history of why this grape is famous. All hail Pinot Grigio. That's where it really came into its own and was born. And so for most of history, Pinot Gris has really been known as Pinot Grigio. It's found crazy success in Northern Italy, growing regions of Lombardy, the Veneto, Friuli, Trentino, and the Alto Adige, just to name a few. And it really became one of the most popular white wines in Italy, and then it was historically one of the most imported white wines into the United States. Americans love their Pinot Gris, but someone like myself, I'm not into Pinot Grigio. I think it's not dynamic enough for me. I'm not that interested in it. It's very rare that I have a Pinot Grigio that I'm like, this is sick. I would use Pinot Grigio to make a white wine spritzer or a sangria. Don't shoot the messenger. That's just how I feel. But Romato enters the room, okay? And now Romato is basically when a winemaker takes their Pinot Gris or their Pinot Grigio and extends the skin contact. Ooh, we love that, but normally we would be like, well, it's just an orange wine. So a lot of times if you go to a wine shop or you go to a restaurant, a Romato will be listed. Sometimes people even don't call out that it's a Romato, first of all. But a lot of times you go and it's either in the orange wine section or sometimes it's in the rosé section. I think technically, if you ask me, it leans a little bit more into the rosé section for me because it's not really going through most of the time a super long maceration period like an orange wine would. But Romatos are given this color. It's sort of a coppery to blood orange color. And it always is very similar. You could spot a Romato from across the room. And sometimes if it's in the glass, you'd be like, is that a very light red? But no, even if it was a red wine, you would never call it that because the grape is a gray grape. So that's why it has its own name. I know I keep saying it, but all hail the Romato, the ultimate summer drink. I think in the best case scenario, it pleases rosé drinkers and orange wine drinkers and red wine drinkers. Wow, that is just, we are tripling our return on positive feelings about a wine. But the reason it's called a Romato is it's derived from a name based in Pinot Grigio's mothership, Northern Italy and Friuli, which translates to auburn or copper in color. And when you're macerating the Pinot Grigio grape must with its skins, the pink hue that is on those skins or that, you know, grayish hue can create a wine that's from semi-pale to dark orange, as I said before, depending on how long the wine is macerated together. What makes these wines so interesting is they're, for me, one is they're such a departure from Pinot Grigio. But number two, they have beautiful dried tropical fruit, herbal aromas. And on the palate, they really accentuate a stone fruit skin and spice quality. They have a lot of really incredible structure, and you get that tannin component that you might crave from a red wine or an orange wine, but it's not as all-encompassing as that. You kind of feel like there's a lot going on, but they drink really easily, which to me, in the best case scenario, is what a wine should be. It should really just be a real treat. I think what would really throw people off about Ramato is that their color can be so, so insane. The other day I drank a Domaine Riche Ramato, which was literally the color of like blood orange copper juice. Like it was just really this deep, deep burnt orange color. And it drank beautiful. It was like a freshly sliced apple with great acidity. It had a little bit of a citrus byline, like a creme brulee blood orange almost. And it literally was the perfect wine to have with the pizza I was eating, which was a white pie with Fresno chilies. It could handle the spice. It could handle the cheesiness. It was literally just a dream. Now, why am I calling it the summer of Ramato? Well, the reason is because in the United States, especially in parts of California and Washington State and Oregon, there's a lot of Pinot Gris that is being planted or has been planted. And I think Ramato is on the rise because categorically, it fits into this area that people are really craving that's food friendly, that's chilled, but there isn't anything exactly like it. Some of the Pinot, like Gris-derived Ramatos that you're getting from the States actually have a little bit more unctuousness and a little bit more structure and have less of a light touch, even though the color might be very strong, than a lot of the ones that I've had from parts of Europe, most specifically where Pinot Gris or Pinot Grigio is grown. So in France, you're going to find a more higher likelihood of seeing a Ramato from Alsace, where Pinot Gris is a grape that is planted more frequently than, let's say, in the Loire Valley, where there isn't really any Pinot Gris. And you're also going to see Ramatos from Italy, where Pinot Grigio is planted. There are times when people use Pinot Gris or Pinot Grigio to make a sparkling wine, and you would not call that a Ramato. People who are making those choices are kind of doing their own thing. They're farmers making more of a rustic, natural wine vibe. I've seen a sparkling wine made from Pinot Grigio that was hot pink. I mean, I'm talking bazooka, bubblegum pink. It was literally out of this world. I couldn't quite understand how it was possible, but their Pinot Grigio grapes have little red hairs on it, and thus the hot pink was born. I mean, I literally thought it was fake. There are Ramatos from all over, but it's really, you're going to find them wherever Pinot Gris is being planted or wherever you're going to find Pinot Grigio. And in Italy, there is a long history of making wine in this fashion, and there's some really OG winemakers. Shout out Grosvenor as one of the most, you know, top of mind winemakers, and Grosvenor, who take this incredibly seriously. And sometimes the maceration of these wines can be up to 120 days. Now, when you have that situation, that's the kind of wine where you want to be doing like an omakase sushi dinner, because there is so much density and structure in a wine. It's in a wine like that, it's actually mind-boggling. For me, why I want to call this the summer of Ramato is because you remember that wine I said I just had with that pizza and it was amazing. And I was sitting outside on a patio in Venice, California with Alex. We didn't have Sky that weekend. He was with his Nana. It was a beautiful day. It was just felt lovely. And we were wearing sunglasses, even though we're not famous in a restaurant, but we're outside. I don't know. We were tired and we just ate like four salads and the Ramato was perfect. And it felt really good after drinking it, you know, it, and I know it was alcohol. So alcohol can give you the illusion of feeling good, but this was something different. It was almost a culinary savory experience. And so I am envisioning the use of this wine really coming into play around the outdoor entertaining category. So a couple different scenarios in which Aromato would be clutch. And you don't need to live near any sort of area. Let's just pretend all of these are going to exist in your backyard or shared garden space or in a public park is totally cool as well. One is the grilled seafood party, okay? And this could be grilled oysters, but I specifically had langostinos in mind, something that has sort of a richness that the Aromato could cut right through. Now, whether you're going to take this grilled seafood, it could be shrimp, could be scrimp skewers that are seasoned with salt, pepper, garlic salt, and then zested and squeezed with lemon at the end. Whether you're going to unskewer these bad boys into tortillas, or you're going to eat them alone, or you're going to make salads. We're making t-shirts, Summer of Aromato, Aromato Robato. I don't know. We're going to come up with some sort of catchphrase. I'm working on it. I'm workshopping it. What I was saying was, it's the ultimate seafood, ode to seafood barbecue. There's nothing like it. I had langostinos in mind. It would literally be a perfect pairing. The second scenario of outdoor entertaining is the classic barbecue, whether you're going to go red sauce barbecue chicken, whether you're going to go crazy on brisket, whether you're going to be all like, I have a smoker. I don't know what your deal is. You got potato salad, you got slaw, you got all kinds of things going on. Aromato is literally the perfect pairing for that. And then the last one I'll say, in honor of Brizia, who was one of my guests, who owns an amazing Oaxacan restaurant out here called Galagueza and a michelada company called I Love Micheladas. I feel like Aromato is the next best second after you've had a michelada beverage at your outdoor asada. And as Brizia explained to us on her episode, you go back and listen, an asada is basically a party outside with friends, but she has a cookbook coming out and I'm going to cook from those recipes because that girl knows what she's doing. Anyway, this summer is going to be the summer of Aromato. Maybe there's rosé. Maybe there's the OG Pinot Grigio we all know. Maybe there's some orange wine, but I'm telling you, head to your wine shop, head to hollandswines.com, keyword search Aromato, and let the floodgates of joy open. I can't wait to hear what you think. Please comment, like, share, let us know because we want to know how you feel about this Aromato. It's going to be a new category for a lot of people and it is a new category and it's only what it is. We can't stretch it into other things. As always, this is Helen from Helen's Wines. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to see what Aromatos we have, you can go to hellenswines.com. We ship nationwide. We are probably going to put one in our June wine club. So you could sign up for the wine club at hellenswines.com right now as well. It's pretty cool. Or follow along on Instagram. See what's up at Helen's Wines. Always drop in some thoughts, feelings, curiosities about what we got in the shop, what we're into, what we're drinking, who's hot, who's not. Thank you so much and have a great day. Bye.